Hi, this is Paul. I've made a series of videos over the last few years about what's going on in the Christian Reformed Church with respect to the debate over same-sex marriage, and this is another one of those videos. Basically, Synod 2022 declared that, so the Christian Reformed Church has three forms of unity, they're called, confessional statements, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgian Confession, and the Canons of Dort. And what happened at Synod 2022 was that Synod, with a pretty convincing majority, declared that the Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 108, when it talked about unchastity, included same-sex behavior, which obviously did not have the Christian Reformed Church follow along with the broader cultural redefinition of marriage from a man and a woman to any two individuals. This, of course, was a big deal in the Christian Reformed Church and has caused a lot of conversation, and everyone's anticipating Synod 2023, which happens in June in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Calvin University. I am not a delegate this year. I have a son who is graduating college, and so I will be at my son's graduation. I won't be at Synod, but I will be following Synod carefully. And what I kind of wanted to do last year, which was do some videos where I get to do some commentary on what's going on at Synod, I couldn't do that at Synod last year because the Synod officers basically required that Synod delegates refrain from doing things on social media. And I was specifically told by the executive to not do some of what I was planning to do, and that was fine. I agreed to that. But this year I will be under no such constraint because I, like the rest of you, will be watching it on YouTube with they probably have like a half hour delay in it. So yeah, so that way I'll be able to keep up on it, like many of the rest of you who are in the Christian Reformed Church and interested about it. I'll be watching it on YouTube. Well, so in this past year, a committee was sent to Neyland Avenue in Grand Rapids East. The council president of Neyland Avenue was a delegate to Synod last year, and after Synod made the decisions it did, he basically stood up and said, "We will, of course, receive the committee, but it's unlikely that we will change our minds or directions," and that certainly seems to be the case. So no one is expecting them to change their directions. And some affirming CRC congregations are moving to the RCA, Reformed Church of America, right now, or thinking about it. And others are planning appeals to Synod. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we get into the video a little bit deeper. But I want to talk a little bit about the Reformed Church of America. The Reformed Church of America has been fighting over this issue for over two decades. The Reformed Church of America was the American version of the Dutch State Church. They're the oldest Protestant denomination in North America. They're brought over by the Dutch. Their polity, even though the Christian Reformed Church inherits a lot of its polity from the Reformed Church of America, the Christian Reformed Church's polity is quite a bit more streamlined. You tend to find that in younger denominations. Usually the older the denomination, the more stuff just builds up in terms of polity and procedure. Younger denominations will have less. The Christian Reformed Church was separated from the Reformed Church of America in the middle of the 19th century. Now, part of why the Reformed Church of America was struggling with this is that there are some subtle differences between the Christian Reformed Church and the Reformed Church of America in terms of how, when I talk about church polity, it's the mechanism by which the denomination has rules about how it works. Some of the differences are in the Reformed Church of America, building ownership is done by the classis. Now, in some major mainline denominations, the United Methodist, the Presbyterian Church of America, in many of those denominations, the denomination owns the buildings. In the Christian Reformed Church, the local church owns the buildings. So that's one difference. And so there have been fights in the Reformed Church of America over buildings when churches wanted to leave the denomination because the classis would lay claim to the building. Also, the ordination of ministers in the Reformed Church of America happens at the classical level as well. So when certain East Coast classies were ordaining gay and lesbian clergy within committed relationships, and then I assume marriages, other members of the denomination didn't want to see that happen. But because ordination was held at the classical level, rules that were denominational couldn't be enforced upon these classies. So these classies sort of became oases for these some of these practices to be maintained and continued. And so much of the struggle for a long time in the Reformed Church of America was over procedure and polity to see if basically the protection that a classis was offering these clergy could be pierced. In the end, it wasn't, and what has been happening in the Reformed Church of America is its breaking up. Quite recently, they declared basically a time of gracious separation, which would allow churches to leave with their local congregations, to leave with their buildings, and churches have been doing that. A report I just heard, this isn't official, and I would love if someone out there has official numbers from the Reformed Church of America, I'd love to hear them. But what I have heard is that out of the 880 congregations, 206 have left, and those 206 congregations have 41% of the denomination. That doesn't surprise me. During a lot of these battles, a decade ago now, I was participating in a project called the Kingdom Enterprise Zone, which was funded by Rich DeVos, whose dream was that the Christian Reformed Church and the Reformed Church of America would reunite. And so he funded a variety of projects that that basically encouraged collaboration between the Reformed Church of America and the Christian Reformed Church. And so I worked quite closely with the Central California Reformed Church of America, my counterparts in that. And so I had a good chance to get to know the Reformed Church of America a little bit better. The Reformed Church of America, in terms of East Coast versus West Coast, is quite different. East Coast has a lot of very historical congregations that are very much mainline. Robert Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral, was Reformed Church of America church out west. The Reformed Church of America Midwest tended to be more similar to the Christian Reformed Church in terms of its heritage of Dutch immigrants. But many of the churches that I began to get to know in the West were in many ways similar to large evangelical mega churches. Many of them were flexible on infant baptism. If you wanted your infant baptized, they would baptize it. If you didn't want your infant baptized, they would dedicate it. It's not something that happens in the Christian Reformed Church. And many of those churches didn't think anything of hiring clergy who did not have a Reformed education background or convictions. Again, this wouldn't happen in the Christian Reformed Church. I, in fact, had some Reformed Church of America clergy basically tell me that denominations and these doctrinal commitments don't really matter. They were, in that sense, sort of broadly evangelical. Many of those congregations, I believe, have joined the other arc, not the alliance of Jordan Peterson's arc happening Reformation Day this year, but the Alliance of Reformed Churches. This was founded by Tim Vink, who was a pastor here in the Central Valley, pastoring a RCA charismatic megachurch down in, used to be, I think it was down in Tulare for a while. I worked with him on this project. Dan Ackerman was a classmate of mine in seminary. He worked for Christian Reformed Home Missions for a while. And so they were sort of the two guys who really helped get this Alliance of Reformed Churches started. And one of the pieces in the Alliance of Reformed Churches were less denominational assessments that in the Christian Reformed Church, that's ministry shares, flexibility on infant versus believer baptism, and a variety of these things. And by the nature of this and the culture of the Reformed Church of America, it was quite clear that this Alliance for Reformed Churches was going to be attractive to many of the larger Reformed Church of America churches. Some people noted to me that there were single congregations in the RCA Midwest and West which had more members in it than whole classes of churches out east. Paul Schrader, a couple of years ago, did a film, First Reformed, and kind of would give you a sense of what some Reformed churches are like out east. They've got historic buildings, but they have very small congregations. Some of them stay alive basically because of their endowments. That's certainly not the whole case. As in many cases, churches are very broad and large, and so, but that's, it's for that reason that with 206 congregations leaving, you can leave with 41% of the membership of the church. A real interesting question is what remains. Now, clearly, there will be mainline-ish congregations that remain that want to stay and will influence the RCA to probably, as a whole, be more of an affirming denomination. I would imagine that in the Reformed Church of America, similar to what's in the Christian Reformed Church, especially after COVID, there are probably more in the RCA than the CRC. There are probably 20 to 30% of the congregations in the denominations that are struggling with viability. They might own property. They're probably struggling to pay their clergy. Increasingly, they probably have bivocational clergy or retired clergy, and chances are that in the next 10 to 15 years, many of these churches are going to close. Many of these churches won't have the energy or the wherewithal to actually make a move out of the denomination, which means that what's left of the Reformed Church in America will likely have a larger percentage of churches that are sort of in their end of life, a larger percent of churches that are in perhaps this strange endowed state out east of very small congregations, but just having enough money to keep things going, and then other churches that are a little bit more robust and mainline-ish. And so I think some Christian Reformed churches that are along the lines of affirming might look upon this as a good option for them. I don't think it probably will be. Now, a couple of years ago, I hosted a conversation with my friend Andrew Bjunk from British Columbia and some other CRC and RCA pastors in British Columbia. Conversations between those churches were well underway. I think for some of these RCA congregations in Canada, the CRC probably makes a lot of sense because the Christian Reformed footprint in Canada is significantly larger than the RCA's footprint in Canada. From basically how I watch the conflict going on in the Christian Reformed Church now, it appears that Canada is at least as polarized as the United States with respect to the churches. In Canada, I think there are probably some of the more larger, healthy, robust, affirming churches than there are in the United States. And I suspect that there are a number of robust conservative churches as well in Canada. And it seems to be in some classes right now, they are squaring off. And the heat of the conflict is rising. And so what I'm about to say certainly isn't true for all churches. It might be that there are some CRCs that would fit better in the RCA. A lot depends on the local classis, how things look, and whether, because the Christian Reformed Church and the Reformed Church of America do have different cultures. There's a lot in common, but there's a fair amount that's unique to both. Now, Synod 2023, as I mentioned, is a few months away. I did a video, Beyond Synod 2022, Upcoming Challenges for Confessing and Affirming CRCs. Somewhat to see the Synod 2022 decision overturned or blunted. If you go and look at my video, Why a Split in the Christian Reformed Church is Nearly Inevitable, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they have the votes. The kinds of urban, moderate to progressive churches that sort of carried the day on women in church office 25 years ago are weak or non-viable or no longer in existence in many of the urban areas in North America. I've been talking about this thesis with more and more people and getting more and more data. So North Jersey, which is the New York area, Toronto, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, even in my own classes, 30 years ago in the San Francisco Bay Area, there were a number of healthy, thriving, robust Christian Reformed churches that, in terms of the Christian Reformed church playing field, would have been moderate or moderate to progressive in terms of the Christian Reformed church playing field. You have to understand that that's very different from the overall ecclesiastical landscape in North America. So most of those churches are greatly diminished. And the side of the Christian Reformed Church that has not atrophied at the rate of Christian Reformed churches in those urban areas have been more conservative, suburban and rural agricultural Christian Reformed churches. Those are the churches that tend to be thriving and doing better now. And this is, and it's for that reason that Christian Reformed churches are, on the whole, getting more conservatives. Some are looking for some sort of a pause. My concern is, well, actually, I don't think we're going to see a pause. I don't think we're going to see the 2022 decision overturned or blunted. If that would happen, there's the potential that we could see a bigger fragmentation similar to what we see in the Reformed Church of America, where both sort of the far left wing and the far right wing throw up their hands and say, I'm out of here, leaving a weaker middle. Now, I've talked about All One Body. They're an interest group in the Christian Reformed Church. I've talked about Abide. I've mentioned the Hesed Project before, but they are still very much in this game. So the Hesed Project, the hesedprojectcrc.org, is a website that was developed before Synod 2022. They wanted the Board of Trustees, the Council of Delegates, to require all synodical delegates to watch a bunch of video stories. That was turned down at the Council of Delegates. But they do have a fair amount of good information on their website, including, if you go to this Learn tab, they've got a lot of information. Now, again, this project has its agenda in the Christian Reformed Church, but part of the difficulty in a denomination like the Christian Reformed Church is getting good information. Now, since I've been talking about CRC Voices, I'll put a link to them below. CRC Voices, because I've talked about them on this channel, CRC Voices has ballooned. And there's a lot more traffic on CRC Voices. Actually, I think CRC Voices is a little bit better balanced now. It was more heavily conservative, I think, a couple of years ago. There are more progressive voices on it now. Many of the members of CRC Voices had been talking to each other for decades, and so there were a lot of robust, good relationships built up that I think facilitated the conversation. The conversation is struggling with that now because people don't know each other as well. A lot of my ideas about facilitating a good conversation about conflictive things have arisen out of my experience on CRC Voices and having relationships across whatever divide a particular fight might be going on. But part of what you can see, especially before the Acts of Synod comes out, or the agenda for Synod. So what happens in the Christian Reformed Church is that in a few weeks, there will be an official agenda published for the denomination. Anyone can get their hands on that. It'll be in PDF on the CRC website. Hard copies will be mailed out to synodical delegates. As I said, I am not a delegate this year. I have a son graduating. My youngest son is graduating from college, and so I am going to be with my family celebrating the graduation of my youngest son from college. I will not be going to Synod. I am not needed at Synod. There are many, many tremendous Christian Reformed Church ministers, elders, and deacons, and commissioned pastors who will all be going to Synod, and I know many of them, so I will pray that God works at Synod. Now, again, back to this Hesed page, there are a lot of statements. You've got statements from a variety of churches in Classis, Grand Rapids East. Here's a statement from Meadowvale CRC in the Toronto area. But there are also overtures, overtures to remove confessional status, overtures on a way forward with respectful disagreement, overture on ministry with LGBTQ+. Dwayne Kelderman, former vice president of Calvin Seminary, has a video out where he basically states his case for same-sex marriage, et cetera, overture on confessional status. So there's a lot of conversation going on here. And Clay Leibold, I've talked about some of his stuff before. He's been on the channel, What Can Churches Do Now? So I'm, you know, I'm really happy that I don't see any of my videos on this website. Am I not a member of the church? It's okay. It's okay. I'm happy that the conversation is going forward, that people are communicating. And so here's the link to it if you're curious. And again, this is all from sort of an affirming point of view. But again, I want to state that I think this is a minority in the Christian Reformed Church, and that got borne out quite clearly in Synod 2022, and I really don't expect a big transition in terms of change in Synod 2023. The Christian Reformed Church Synod is made up of four delegates from each classis, and I think that, you know, it would have been 25 years ago that you would have had you would have significant number of delegates from Classis Hackensack, Classis Central California, Classis Greater LA, Classis Southern California, some Chicago classes, some Canadian classes. You just don't have churches anymore in many places in the Christian Reformed Church. And the fact that so many of them are concentrated in Classis Grand Rapids East means they just don't have that many votes at Synod. That's just the way Synod is going to work out. Now, again, in reference to my points here, I'm not going to reiterate everything I said in the video where I said why a split in the Christian Reformed Church is nearly inevitable. I think a path forward for many affirming CRCs is probably not the Reformed Church of America. Why? Well, I think a split is inevitable again because both sides now see their position as missional and essential. Grand Rapids East will not back down. Neyland and these other churches will not back down. That's clear from the Hesed website. At the same time, the Christian Reformed Church overall will continue to get more conservative on these issues, not less. Now, why the RCA is probably a bad option for most affirming CRCs. At the outlook, it appears to be sort of a convenient, affirming, friendly, aligned denomination with similar statements of faith. The Reformed Church of America's posture towards confessionality, however, is weaker than in the Christian Reformed Church. And so that is going to impact and has impacted, let's say, the diversity of churches you can find in the Reformed Church of America. The irony of the Reformed Churches of America was that while in the East Coast you have some very mainline churches, on the West Coast you had, I don't know if any of these churches continue to remain, Acts 29 network churches, Neo-Puritan churches, that would be PCA churches, churches that were quite adamantly conservative, including on a whole variety of other issues. So the RCA is a bigger tent, more diverse church, even though it is technically smaller, and at this point probably quite a bit smaller than the Christian Reformed Church in North America. The Christian Reformed Church has been a larger denomination for a long time than the Reformed Church of America. Denominations themselves have been disrupted by internet technology. I wasn't at all surprised that, now it's bigger than just Tim Vink and Dan Ackerman, but I wasn't at all surprised that in many ways with an office and some laptops and a website, you could develop a denomination pretty quickly. It doesn't take that much. A lot of the things that denominations were designed to do in previous centuries, You needed office buildings, you needed printing presses, you needed staffing, you needed all of those things. You don't need them today just because of the internet. And so a lot of what's been happening is that denominations themselves have continued to morph and change. And, you know, we've seen this in even the breakdown of the Presbyterian Church the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. There have been some other little splinter groups, Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the ECHO group split off from. But again, what's interesting about all of these other splits is that they're all splits to the right. And I have long said that, generally speaking, churches leak left and split right, because the conservatives tend to have more need for cohesion and more need for each other if they are countercultural. That's just sort of a countercultural dynamic that Lyle Shaler, an early church growth guy, pointed out in his books years ago. Also, the Reformed Church of America has a ton of legacy stuff. They are constitutional. The CRC's polity is a little bit lighter, a little bit more flexible. Part of the reason that I think that we're not going to see a similar situation in the Christian Reformed Church as we saw in the Reformed Church of America, again, is because already being born only 100 years ago by seceders, the Christian Reformed Church was already a tick over towards denominational or congregational, because local churches owned their buildings. Secular courts would only get involved if, let's say, there's a disagreement within the local church, and then, generally speaking, the secular courts would apportion resources based on some sort of percentage of members who wanted to go one way or another. There might be some of that, but I don't think we've seen as much of that as we saw as in the Christian Reformed Church, even with the last split in the Christian Reformed Church, which happened in the 1990s over women in church office. So the CRC already has a slimmed-down polity than the constitutional RCA, and I think that the problem is that when you join the RCA, now you are bound by all of those new rules. And I think it's going to be very difficult to sort of see where the RCA is going to go with all this stuff. Because on one hand, they've lost a significant amount of their body weight, which has changed the composition of their denomination. And so, you know, it might be that, in fact, ministry assessments, which have always been quite a bit less than the Christian Reformed Church, though that's in terms of what's going on in the Christian Reformed Church with ministry shares, is a whole nother conversation that I'm likely not going to make a video about. But if I were a pastor of an affirming Christian Reformed Church, I would look at the RCA and say, I don't know what I'm getting into with that. And what I'm getting into is already fairly rigid and fixed, even though a lot of things are sort of up for grabs. So I would pause before looking at that. So when you join the RCA, you take on their assets, but also their encumbering liabilities. And I think one person on CRC Voices basically said, maybe what the Christian Reformed Church is sort of dissolve itself temporarily and grow a new denomination or two new denominations from the ground up. Now, me being high in openness thought, that's a really cool idea. I would love nothing better than to sort of try to craft a denomination out of white paper with agreements with people. When I look at what, again, my friends Tim Vink and Dan Ackerman did, well, that just looked a whole lot like a whole lot of fun. But that's me. And part of what that kind of thing attracts is sort of your entrepreneurial pastors who, you know, feel sort of encumbered by tradition and want to go out there and do what they think is important and needs to be doing now. So I think, now, I am not in the affirming camp in the Christian Reformed Church. I am very much a moderate, and those of you who want to know my views on that, there's a four-hour view. There's a four-hour video. There you can find me on CRC Voices and hear about my views on this. My views don't kind of easily fall into any of the camps. But I think what we're probably going to see and what we should probably see is that Classis Grand Rapids East becomes sort of the seed for what I would call the affirming CRC. And I even gave you a little logo here. You know, you're free to name yourself, of course. But I think actually, even though a division or a branching off, as I would call it, is not my first option of what I'd like to see, it might very well be the best option right now. And I would like to see the members of Classis Grand Rapids East, given their long history with denomination and working the denomination, if there's any Classis in the church that is well equipped to start something like this, it's probably them. And they already have significant cohesion, history, institutional memory, people and financial resources. There's no question in my mind that if this Classis wanted to do this, they could do it fast. Now, there was also what happened at a Classis meeting where they took $5,000 from their missional budget to put towards a new project. I've been trying to get someone from this effort to come on my channel. But they've launched a website too. And this is just an example of how, you know, the internet has completely changed all of this. Your invitation to join Better Together a Third Way, us versus them, red versus blue, progressive versus conservative, affirming versus traditional. Are you sick of picking sides? You're invited to join a movement of members, leaders, pastors, churches, and classes across the United States calling for the Christian Reformed Church to a mission-focused, baptismal-based identity that allows for disagreement. The difficulty of this is, this is what the CRC had before the Neyland announcement, and because, you know, Classis Grand Rapids East had statements on their websites long before Neyland, so this is what the CRC had, and I don't see the CRC going back to this. Now, that being said, again, the Christian Reformed Church is a small denomination. Doug Bratt, Kyle Brooks, I know Kyle, he's in my Classis. I met Rebecca Jordan Hayes at Synod last year, Mark Hiblink. I think they just left. So this is Mark Hiblink's church. Mark and I have been on, again, the Christian Reformed Church is a small place, and so you get to know people. And he was a church planter in Austin, Texas, Sunrise Community Church, weirdest little church in Texas. They have a big homeless ministry. That's Mark here in the middle. And I heard word that they switched to the RCA. Better Together didn't last long for him, if that's the case. Roger Nelson, Joel Shears, Dave Strzok, another New Jersey guy. So, you know, good leaders here, but I don't know that this effort is going to bear the fruit that they hope it will bear. And I think actually, again, I think we would probably see one or two classes in the U.S., one or two classes in Canada, probably a Grand Rapids-based classes, and then maybe a Western classes an Eastern and a Western Canadian classes, one in the Toronto area and one in perhaps British Columbia, and actually what I think, and then this group should then work hard on negotiating the institutional collaborations moving forward. Calvin University is one of the big questions in all of this. While technically speaking, Calvin University is owned by the Christian Reformed Church, the way a lot of these ministries work is a little bit more technical. So the board, Synod doesn't really make decisions about Calvin University directly. Synod, this is true of many of the corporations beneath Christian Reformed Church agencies. Last year at Synod 2022, I was on the advisory committee that had to deal with binationality, where we really got into the weeds of these legal entities beneath the surface of the Christian Reformed Church that actually manage, own, and run the various agencies of the church, of which Calvin University is one of them. And so basically, the way that the Christian Reformed Church exerts influence over Calvin University is through the board members, because the board members of Calvin University are all sort of selected from classes and elected then finally by synod. That's the specific mechanism by which they do this. And so again, if any classis in the denomination can manage these negotiations, it's classis Grand Rapids East. So many of those churches are filled with former Calvin University employees. And Calvin, what's happened in the CRC circulatory system that I spoke about in the previous video is that classis Grand Rapids East has basically been harvesting, in many cases, many of the brightest and the best from the whole denominational system and brought them to Grand Rapids. And many people sort of, in the Christian Reformed Church, we call Grand Rapids Jerusalem for a whole variety of reasons, one of which is people retire there. They met their spouses there. So much of the Christian Reformed Church is from Western Michigan that all paths just always sort of lead back to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I think if any classis can do this, it's them. I don't expect them to make moves on this before Synod 2023. If, as I expect, Synod 2020, but you never know what happens at Synod. If Synod 2023 maintains the course that Synod 2022 did, then I expect classis Grand Rapids East will start getting serious about its future options. And I suspect they'll look at the RCA, but I think once they start looking about what they really need from a denomination and what they want from a denomination and the kinds of relationships they're probably going to want to maintain with churches that do not leave the Christian Reformed Church, my guess is that an option like this will probably be the one they pick. And I think, even though I certainly don't want to see a separation in the Christian Reformed Church, I think it's inevitable, and I think this is probably the best option. I think this is basically a denominational option, not a local one. The Affirming CRC hasn't really begun confessional exploration of these issues, and I think that's something they very much need to do. In the long run, I would like to see the Affirming CRC and the CRCNA sort of be side by side so they can continue to talk to each other. And so ideally, their churches could go back and forth over that line. The Christian Reformed Church needs to be able to continue to converse across this line. And I think actually a branching like this could afford conversations that are less about blaming, winning, and losing, and more about exploring, asking, and learning. I think that would actually be afford better conversations than the conversations that are sort of arising now in the heat of the moment, which tend to be, well, I'm going to try to convince you of my way directly. A video I thought about doing today was exactly about this whole myth of, or I shouldn't use, I don't want to misuse the word myth, this false belief about direct conversations and its efficacy. Local churches and ordained clergy can transition relatively easily between. I think this would probably be the best next step for the CRC right now. And I think, you know, over time, I'm very interested to know over time what will become, especially of Affirming CRCs. I've talked a lot about ideals. Actually, Jordan Peterson, so I made some comments about not having watched. I don't usually watch the Jordan Peterson videos when he talks to politicians. But a number of people messaged me with respect to the current one with this presidential candidate. And there are actually some portions of that conversation where when he talks about ideals and fringe and center, which I think are very helpful and I think are actually instructive for the situation in the Christian Reformed Church now. Denominations have a lot of legacy encumbrances, and I think part of the way we're going to see denominations themselves evolve to engage what is a very different world than even the world 75 years ago. After World War II and in the 1960s, there was a lot of reshaping of denominations. The Christian Reformed Church grew dramatically, as many other denominations did during that period, and took on a lot of legacy encumbrances denominationally. Probably the way that the denominations continue to evolve will be by shedding some of those things and figuring out new ways to do things. And I think that's part of why the Alliance of Reformed Churches took off the way it did. And I think probably the Affirming CRC and the CRCNA, which unlike the RCA, I think we would see, I think the largest split off of the CRC that we'd see is probably 20%. And I think we would probably, what I don't want to see is the CRCNA then starting to re-fight about women in office. Some people fear that, and I understand their fears. But I think if any of these denominations want to not only survive but thrive, they're going to have to figure out how to live in this new internet age. And I think an across-the-board review of what denominations are for and how they need to, how local churches need them is more than due. So both the Affirming CRC and the CRCNA could become more attractive to fragments of the RCA. I think that would be true. I mean no ill will to the RCA, but I suspect that a lot of what is threatening them is, in fact, the continued changes in the culture and the difficulty that legacy denominations have to adapting to them. Polity, building ownership, ordination is more flexible. Finding some wins in areas that are completely disconnected from this current fight. There is so much that churches need to do to missionally engage their context today. This particular fight, while important, and I think the confessional conversations need to go on with respect to these, one sure way to lose your denomination or your ecclesiastical body is to have decades of intractable conflict where nothing gets resolved. Nobody wants to sit in the middle of that. So, yeah, I don't think the RCA is the best way forward for Affirming CRC churches. And I think they've been, over this year, kind of going through stages of grief. I think especially after Synod 2023, if they lose again, I think they're going to realize that they're going to need to stop grieving and start thinking about the future. And there could be some really exciting and creative things ahead for them. So there are my thoughts. Leave a comment.